Fasting is never, we said already, to become an outward show of spirituality or piety. Now we need to realize something about the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch or the books of Moses. And nowhere in those five books is the word fasting ever mentioned. Nowhere. There is no fast that has been ordained. There isn't a day of atonement where people were to humble themselves, do more work, but it doesn't speak at all about abstaining from food. It's just not mentioned. Fasting was not instituted until the people of Israel were drug off in bondage. Then fasting became four religious fasts that were to be entered into through a year. But before that time, it was never mentioned. There was times where it said people abstained for food, but they didn't have the word fast. Moses up on Mount Sinai fasted 40 days. That was a total fast, an absolute fast, no water whatsoever. Now, it's interesting, he got the Ten Commandments. It was a supernatural fast when he went 40 days with no water. Man can only go 3 days. And then he came down with the Ten Commandments, found Israel in idolatry, smashed them. God sent him back up on the mountain, and he fasted another 40 days. That may, we don't know for certain, that may have been the longest fast in history, 80 days. It was supernatural. It was while Israel was held in captivity in Babylon, and we said that, that they began fasting four times a year. But what happened, I believe it started out of a fast that someone had the idea, we need to fast four times a year for humility and to repentance so that we're restored. Somebody had that idea, and it was birthed in the Spirit. But what did Israel do? They made it a law. They made it a duty. That's what fasting can very easily become, because if we begin to do this in the Spirit, what's Satan going to try to turn it into? Into religion and law. Because he knows if it's of the Spirit, it's going to birth life. But if he can make it of the flesh, or if he can make it of the law, it'll produce death and not life. So no, if you move into a lifestyle of fasting, immediately Satan is going to come and try to pervert it into a duty. And one of the ways he'll do that is by your fasting, why isn't my spouse? I'm more spiritual because I'm into a lifestyle of fasting. But why isn't the pastor doing more of this? Or why aren't this person doing more of that? You've just turned it into a religious law, and it's only going to work death in your life. That's one of the reasons I don't talk about fasting. If people knew the depth of how much I fast, the length of how much I fast, immediately it puts them in guilt or self-condemnation or judgment, so I rarely ever talk it, though people had to know because I do a lot of fast when I travel. It's a good time. That way, when I'm home, I can still eat with my family, and so I do them out on the road a lot. I call ahead, let people know in advance I'm fasting, I'm not eating when I come. Have to tell them, otherwise they got all these meals planned, all the people plan meals. If I'm on a Daniel fast, I call ahead, let them know I'm on a Daniel fast. We're only on fruits and vegetables and water. Let them know in advance. Now, four different types of fasting, or five different ones, I think we said we'll look at one more. The first one is the one that is the normal fast. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, Jesus ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry, Luke 4:2. This is the normal fast. This was a fast where there is no food, there is no juices, there's no fluids, there's water only. Some people have called this fast a supernatural fast that Jesus did, and they said he took no water. I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. Because it said there that Jesus tempted him because he was hungry. If he had been thirsty, you think he'd have tempted him that in that area too? He tempted them with bread, not bread and water. And I've been on fast. It's one thing to go without bread, and I did just last Tuesday an absolute fast, or last Saturday, excuse me, and that was a total fast for Yom Kippur, and it was called all over the world that the entire world go on a total fast for Israel. And boy, it's one thing to go without food. It's another thing to go 24 hours without water. And so I don't believe that that was a supernatural fast with no water. I believe it was a normal fast with just the absence of food. The normal fast may, and this is always a question that comes up, may or may not include abstinence from sexual relations. Some people try to make it a law. You've got to cut off all sexual relations with your spouse It depends upon what the couple decides. That makes it pretty clear in 1 Corinthians 7. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourself to prayer and to come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. There is a place if you both agree. And when I went on a 40-day fast last year, I told my wife, you know, I'd really like to do this fast and move in the sexual realm. And those of you that have done long fast, you kind of shut down that way anyway, and in the sexual realm. And I said, I'd really like to go through this, no sexual contact. Now, about 25 days into it, my wife was getting a little irritated and agitated. And so we kind of yielded to that one night on for sake of my sanity and living with her and dwelling with her. So, now, it wasn't a need with me, because when I fast, I find that those desires shut down, because what's normal fasting do when you're just on water or just maybe even just juices? It shuts down the fleshly drives. Fleshly desires to begin to shut down. So oftentimes the sexual desires to begin to shut down. What are the advantages of, say, a normal fast over a partial or Daniel fast? It really shows you mean business with God. It cuts more deeply into your flesh, revealing more weaknesses and strongholds than the Daniel fast or the partial fast would do. It takes you into a deeper state of weakness. Thus, God's strength is more readily revealed in that weakness. That's 2 Corinthians 12:9. His strength is perfected in our weakness. It tends to produce a greater humility and repentance within your life, because you've totally shut down one of the greatest desires and urges of your flesh, food. It has much more health benefits, because the digestive system goes right into rest. The digestive system, we'll learn more about that later, but goes into a season of rest. It's the biggest energy taker of your body. And it goes into a season of rest, so the energy is applied elsewhere. It throws the body, the blood, and the whole lymph system, the moisture system, fluid system within your body, throws it into a process of detoxification and purification. The blood, the cells, the body organs are cleansed. That's the advantage of going a normal fast over a Daniel fast. We'll talk more. We've got a whole chapter on detoxification. The disadvantage of a normal fast over a partial or Daniel fast. It may be more difficult to overcome the head and body aches brought on by detoxification of the body. We'll talk about that more later. It may be more difficult to reach your goal if you're a beginner at fasting. It's more difficult to reach the goal of a normal fast. And so you may fail, and you might, well, I don't want to try again. It didn't work for me. I can't fast. There's too much hurt, too much pain in this. It just doesn't work for me. That's a lie of Satan that he's brought you into. It will work for anybody. You will know how to make it work by the time this course is over, how to go from totally full of toxins, full of all the headaches. You can get rid of the headaches in 15 minutes. I have to come back tomorrow to find out how. Teresa will tell you how. She went with my wife. What did he say? It humbles you. If the disadvantage of a normal fast over a partial fast, if you're not used to the weakness, then it may be difficult to carry on your daily work routine. I believe that might have been one of the reasons Daniel found the Daniel fast. It may cause unpleasant physical reactions, the headaches, nausea, the dizziness, other smells about your body as the toxins are coming out. And of course, your breath is horrendous. Spiritual attacks usually are much greater over a normal fast than they are a Daniel fast. Much greater. As soon as you start trying to fast, get ready for spiritual attacks. New levels, new devils. You may become very moody, irritable. Feelings of doubt, fear, loneliness, lose your joy during this, because you are during a death process. A normal fast, this is just some of what you'll go through. The more you fast, the more you're able to recognize these feelings, not let them control you, not let them bring you down. And we're going to talk about how to deal with all that tomorrow and all the practical aspects of fasting. The second type of fasting is the total fast. Acts 9, verse 8 and 9. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, speaking of Paul here, Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see anything. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. And then we see again in Ezra 10, verse 6, and Ezra rose from before the house of God, went into the chamber of Jehoiakim, and the son of Eliashib, and although he went there, he did not eat bread nor drink water, for he was mourning over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. Of course, Esther, in Esther 4:16, total fast, no water, no bread, no anything. Moses, here's the 40-day fast for him, no food, no bread, no water. In Exodus 34:28, 40 days. That is a supernatural fast, to not put any fluid in. Don't try that. 3 days is the maximum. The total fast, again, is when there's no food, there's no liquid, there's no water of any kind. That fast is usually biblically observed for times of extreme crisis. Drastic circumstances require drastic measures. This fast is for a life-threatening situation or during times of great travail for a city or nation. Someone was giving me a report that my wife or my daughter was dying. I would go into a total fast immediately for 3 days because it's biblical. If it was a life crisis thing, I would be right in that total fast, praying, trying to get in solitude or in the hospital praying or whatever it is, wherever there's a major crisis. Now, Saul was in a spiritual crisis. His whole world came tumbling down when he had been fighting vehemently against the Christians, and now everything that he had lived for, everything he was willing to die for, his whole identity, everything was threatened when Jesus appeared towards him. What did he do? He went right into a 3-day fast. Total fast. No water, no anything, because he knew this is going to cost me everything. Everything he ever believed, everything he ever studied for, every family member, everything he was, he's now about to give it all up. Crisis time. He went into a 3-day total fast. Ezra was so filled with grief and shame for the sins and compromise of his people, he entered into a total fast. That was what was called October 11th for Israel throughout the world. The whole world into a total fast, one day, 24 hours, from sunset last Friday to sunset last Saturday, a fast of repentance for the sins of Christians against Jews, the sins of Jews against Christians, and for the entire nation. It was a total fast. A total fast shows God you really are desperate for his intervention. You're getting as serious as you can come now. A total fast will more deeply expose the weaknesses and the strongholds within your life. A total fast heightens your awareness to the spiritual realm because everything of the flesh is being shut down during this total fast. It may produce a greater level of repentance, brokenness, humility, and dependence upon the Lord to sustain you because you will begin to get very weak. About 18 hours into the total fast last Saturday, I was really getting weak from the lack of water because I normally take a lot of water intake. The disadvantages over the normal fast, it can be dangerous to your health. It increases the chances of not completing the fast, just leaving you with a sense of failure. It may leave you too weak to function throughout the day. I do know some of the Muslim basketball players and ball players, even though they're on a total fast one day a year, they continue even playing basketball and continue in that total fast. So somehow they still hang in there. Third type of fasting is the Daniel fast. And this is found in Daniel 10, verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did eat meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And he said, do not be afraid, verse 12 and 14. Do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now I've come to give you understanding. Of course, we saw it again in Daniel 1, verse 12, 15, and 17, how he was in just fruits and vegetables and water. Now my understanding of the Daniel fast, and people change it around a little bit, but my personal understanding of a Daniel fast is vegetables, fruits, and water. No breads, no meats, no pasta, no desserts, no sweets, no sweet drinks or juices. In this context of what these were during times of conflict and warfare when supernatural wisdom and understanding are needed. It's also a time when we need revelation and discernment concerning the events that lie ahead. So when I need some wisdom, I need some understanding, I may enter into a season of Daniel fasting. I pretty much live there probably 80% of the time. I don't recommend other people live there 80% of the time. I don't think that's necessary for God to do things in your life. For my life, I'm moving more towards that for two reasons. 50% of the reasons are spiritually related because of the realm that I have to operate in. Who am I for pastors to be calling me and wanting counsel? Who am I for that? I don't have anything to give these people. You know, who am I for people, apostles that have been in ministry for 40 and 50 years coming to me for ministry and asking for counseling and submitting themselves to me? Who am I? I'm just a kid in their eyes. Yeah, so I half the reason that I live my lifestyle that I'm on is because of those very reasons. I don't have anything for these people. It had better be supernatural. And so what can I do, and I said it last night, what can I do to position myself in such a way that I live within the realm of miracles? Where can I position myself in the light? Fasting dispels the darkness and brings the light, we saw. So therefore, I seek to live in a lifestyle of Daniel fast. Now, the other 50% of the reason is just the nutritional value behind living the Genesis diet. What's the nutritional value behind living a life of just fruits and vegetables? And when I'm in not a full Daniel fast, I will add grains to it. Fruits and vegetables and beans and just total vegetarian Genesis lifestyle. Now, I don't only do it for nutritional things. I do it also, again, for the spiritual. And so I combine the two together to just make me more sensitive to the things of God. The other reason is, in the old days when I was eating a lot different lifestyle, anything I could put in seafood, if I see it, I'd eat it. You know, anything I could get my hands on, I lived in a lot of weariness and tiredness and fatigue and had chronic fatigue syndrome. And I lived in that place. My lifestyle is I need energy all the time. So when everybody took a break and went out there, what did I went to an apple. And I'm not saying that's others don't have to do that. I don't put it upon anybody except my wife. I don't even put it on my children. I make them feel guilty sometimes. But I'm not the only parent that puts kids in guilt trips, am I? But I choose what can I put in my body that sustains me for one reason, to minister to others. What is it that hinders me? And so I moved more into that. What I suggest with people, where I started in that Daniel lifestyle was about 8 years ago, then just start with maybe a week a month, or start with maybe a month every 4 or 5 months, maybe a Daniel lifestyle. And that's where we started. Our policy is moderation, not abstinence. Some people get into abstinence. That's fine for them. And there is a day when the children are gone, and my wife and I know we'll move into abstinence in the future. And I say abstinence, nothing what brings just total nutritional value to our body. We're not there yet. But right now, what is it that causes me to dwell within the highest energy level in the spirit and in the natural? And we combine the two. And you just find your place. Where do I want to start? I recommend for many people the best place to start fasting is start Daniel fasting. That's the easiest transition to make. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, we don't know why Daniel set the precedent for this, whether it was the Spirit of God speaking to him or he just had to work so much he knew he couldn't go into a regular fast, but for some reason he went into that. Now, look at just the rewards of Daniel fasting. Look at some of these things. Every one of these are found in those verses, in these passages in Daniel 1 and Daniel 10. God gave him, Daniel 1, God gave him good health, gave him knowledge, intelligence, wisdom, understanding of all kinds of visions and dreams, and favor with God and favor with man. Just because of a 3-week or a number of week Daniel fast. There's another in chapter 10. I think that was because of a 10-day Daniel fast, I believe. In chapter 10, Daniel went on a 3-week Daniel fast, and God gave him peace, courage, assurance of angels fighting on his behalf. That's enough right there. Understanding of the future, humility. Now, how about this one? A face-to-face verbal encounter with the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord touched him. Supernatural strength filled him. Deep insight into the spiritual realm. I think that's enough for me to move into a lifestyle of Daniel fasting. I need that to survive. I need that to keep from destroying my kids and my wife. Yeah. What's some of the advantages of Daniel fasting over, say, normal or total fasting? We can continue it through a heavy work schedule. You can continue to eat with your family. You don't appear to be over pious or religious when you go to a meeting. You can still go out to Western Sizzlin' and they can have their big steaks and you have the salad bar and the vegetable bar. Stay away from the ice cream. I did not today. But stay. But I broke my fast from I broke it at the Pizza Inn. Veggie pizzas, no meat. we'll experience some of the advantages. You'll still have a little discomfort from the withdrawals from sugar, sweets, and caffeine, but not near as severe. You're not as likely to break the fast before you obtain your goal. Disadvantages over normal or total fasting. You won't enter into the bite or the cutting edge of what normal fasting can do to expose and put to death your carnal man and its weaknesses. You may not see the fullness of results and blessings that normal fasting may bring. You may not experience the degree of health benefits that normal fasting can bring to your body. In other words, the detoxification won't be as great. Oftentimes you don't focus, I found in my life, and these are all things I found in my life, oftentimes I don't focus on prayer and worship as much when I'm in a Daniel fast as I do when I'm in a normal fast. Because remember what fasting is to be all about. Worship, rest, and prayer. And so your flesh man's not fully denying one of life's greatest pleasures and foods. We had one ministry couple come in about 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago. And the couple come in and having all this crisis and had to come see us immediately. And we found one day we could get with them. And they came in and she was going through tremendous discouragement. She was going through some sexual dysfunctionalisms, some relationship problems with the spouse, had some medical problems, all types of intestinal problems. And thus she's in a spiritual drought and she's just at the end of her rope. And she's going through all this stuff, and we'd ministered to her often and gone through a lot of the childhood things, dealt with a lot of the other wounding and issues, and what she was describing. I just said, tell me, what's your diet like? And she told me what it was like. I'm saying, boy, a diet is enough to cause all of these things. And so I just said, I tell you what, we're going to minister to some of the other areas that's causing some of the relationship problems. But what I do, all this intestinal problem you're having, what would you say if I said in 30 days, it could every bit of it be gone? I'd say, you're crazy. I'm going to a doctor's. They're putting me on all types of medications. I've had this my whole life. 30 days, you can be completely healed. Would you give me 30 days and follow what I said to do in 30 days? You said, I'd do anything. Man, I've been going through this, and she's about 30 years old. And I said, okay, starting tomorrow, I don't want you to put another cooked thing in your mouth. No more sugar. No more caffeine. I want you for 7 days, no, I think 10 days, to go on a total raw. Just raw fruits, raw vegetables, and water. No processed foods, no processed juices. You can drink juice that you juice out of your own juicer, fruit juice in the morning, veggie juice at night. You can do that in just raw fruits and vegetables for 10 days, and then go in a 7-day detoxification, parasite cleanse fast, to cleanse all the parasites out, and then finish up with 10 days of raw fruits and vegetables. Within those 4 weeks, it'll all be gone. I don't believe it. Let's try it. Take colon cleanse in those places, told her a few herbs to take within that. 7 days, she hadn't even gotten to the normal fast yet. 7 days, she said, all my stomach problems are gone. My sexual problems have cleared up. The discouragement's gone. I've never felt so healthy in my life. All she did was Daniel fast on all raw fruits and vegetables for 7 days. By the time the 4 weeks were gone, she's about 30 pounds out of her weight. 20 pounds is gone. She's never felt so healthy in her life. She's just in glory land. And the intimacy with God, marriage problems resolved, the sexual problems resolved. She just went into a 4-week Daniel fast, did it as unto the Lord, and her healing sped forth speedily through her emotions and through her physical body. Now, why would anybody not want to fast? You can just take some basic fasting principles behind Daniel fasting, and that'll transform your life. Now, she had some real traumatic events come up the last 2 weeks, and she started having a little of that stomach trouble back, and she was back on some meat after that, and went back, and we said, just go right back into that fasting. And she went right back into it, and within a few days, all cleared up. Not back into the normal fast, back into the Daniel fast, and just raw fruits and vegetables. So as soon as sickness comes to my house, what do? Move right into a Daniel fast or a normal fast if it hits my life. I usually will start every normal fast, and this is getting ahead of myself tomorrow, but I start every normal fast with Daniel fasting. Prepares your body so you don't have such a great shock wave when you go into it. And we'll talk about that later. The partial fast, number 4. We've got a partial fast. Now, John the Baptist himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. I have not been willing to do this partial fast yet. what he's laying down here is a principle of self-denial. He's separating himself to certain things. Again, all things are profitable. 1 Corinthians, you see it in the middle of your page there, 1 Corinthians 6, 12, 19, and 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. What are you mastered by right now? Ice cream. I looked at that mint chocolate chip in that case the other night at the TCB. I love that mint chocolate chip. But that thing had me mastered for about 42 years. So I went over and got the fat-free, sugar-free. There's times I'll take it, but the whole thing, I will not be mastered by anything. I've got liberty in all things. But I don't want the flesh telling me what to do. And it's going to be tomorrow morning, habits. I don't want habits telling me what to do. Because when I feed habits, they grow. What you feed takes over. And so it's a matter of, in the rest of the verse, or do you not know that your whole body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What this says, glorify God in your body. We're accountable to God for what we do with our body. Not out of a legalistic law thing. We can't make this law. We can't make this religion. We can't make this trying to earn God's approval. We can't make this, I'm more holy, I'm more righteous. You can't do that with this. But just a realization that there is a position I can put myself into where miracles are going to flow more freely. That's what I'm after. Most of it is not for me. I got in the whole healing ministry for one reason. 11 years ago, one reason. The darkness you choose, and the man said this, the darkness you choose to walk in today, your children will inherit, your great-grandchildren will inherit, and your great-grandchildren will inherit. But the light you choose to walk in today, your children will inherit, your grandchildren will inherit, your great-grandchildren will inherit. I heard that, and I began, God, I want to be different for my children. Now, a lot of the reason my lifestyle of food and what I choose is the same way. God, I want to position myself in the realm of light and miracles, where the flesh is not speaking to me all the time, because the flesh has a very loud voice. And it's roaring and it's screaming and it's crying out all the time. So what is it, those things that master me? I'm working on caffeine right now. Is it a sin to drink coffee? No. But it masters me. And when I drink it, I get wiry. But I love it. What is the matter with sitting down having a cup of coffee? Nothing. But if it wires me out and it gets me all wired up and nervous. See, and I'm not saying for you to stop drinking coffee. I'm talking to you about my own personal experience here now. Please understand that. That I'm realizing that thing is mastering my emotions. And it's causing me to be short with my wife and short with my staff and children at home. And so if it's mastering my emotions, I have liberty there. That's all right. But with me, I'm moving into a lifestyle like John the Baptist, if you want to call it that way. I'm moving into a lifestyle, well, what will position me into the deepest awareness of the still, quiet voice? And not the voice that's always. Do I still go out and have a good time and still go out? Yes. I know how to have a good time. I'm going off with my wife next week, and certainly we'll hit seafood restaurants. We won't hit red meat restaurants because I stay away from that quite a bit. But then others don't have to. We need to look at ourselves. What are some of these habits? What are some of these flesh addictions? This is what a partial fast is about. It's about cutting off the flesh addictions in our life. It may be TV. One guy told me, a pastor told me, we went on a 90-day no-sex fast, my wife and I. Because I realized how manipulative that thing was to me in our relationship. So I said, for 90 days, there will be none. Because it was a source of her feeling used because he was so manipulated with it. I thought, man, that's a partial fast. I'm going to break this thing so that the sexual relationship between me and my wife can be honorable instead of me trying to manipulate her. And so he wanted to break the habit. What is that thing that's gripped you? You are slaves of the one you obey. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Now, we found out the power of the TV in September. If you went to this church or if you went to our church where the pastor is called TV fast, we found out the power of that thing in us. Boy, my kids found out it, you know, and I had to live with those guys. But habits have a voice of their own. They talk to us all the time. They're not demonic. Can they have some demonic overtones? Yes, if they rule us too much. But it's just a matter of their voice is so loud. And so partial fasting, and highlighted there, partial fasting can help us clear away the voices of the flesh so that we are much more likely to hear the voice of the Spirit and follow that. So, yes, I live a lifestyle of partial fast. Moderation, not abstinence. Abstinence can bring it into law. But moderation, not abstinence. So I say no to certain things. I say no when I'm walking into the ice cream place again and I'm hearing that voice, mint chocolate chip ice cream that gripped me as a child so much. No, I'm not going to yield to that. I'm going to go over here. And just making a choice not to have a voice tell me what to do. I only want one voice to tell me what to do. And so any other voices that are controlling in my life, I'll maybe go into a season of fasting to break that, and you'll find out the control it has upon you by how agitated you get when you say no to that. Now, John Wesley, we see he had a boy he was trying to get set free of a demon spirit, a demonic spirit, and couldn't get him free. So he went into a partial fast. He just had bread and water and said, I'm going to stay here till that boy gets free. Within weeks, the boy was free. See, it adds power, a sensitivity, it adds authority with you through a Daniel fast. Advantages of partial fasting all over all other forms. You can learn to begin saying no to areas of the flesh that may have ruled you, and thus enter into fasting on a gradual basis. It's a good starting point. A good starting point. The discomfort experience may only be with that one voice and not all the other things you may be trying to say no to at one time. You can continue with your regular daily routine. The disadvantage is you may not have the full effect of the other forms of fasting by revealing the weaknesses of the flesh. You certainly may not experience the health benefits that other types of fasting offers. Now, the fifth type of fasting. And this one is the one that is not in your book. And I went through and got the notes built up because I realized there, and we've made mention of it, is the corporate fast. The corporate fast, C-O-R-P-O-R-A-T-E. The corporate fast is a fast, like say Nehemiah, a good one, corporate. Nehemiah 9 is a good place, starting at verse 1, 2, and 3. That Nehemiah had been sent back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after Israel had been taken into Babylonian captivity for 60 years. And he came back and saw the destruction of the city, the destruction of the walls, and he knew, we've got to repent for our sins. We were drug into bondage for 60 years because of the sins of our forefathers. And so in verse 2, it says that he called them into a fast, the whole nation, and they came into the square there at Jerusalem. And he called all the people together, and it said in verse 2 that they repented of their sins and the sins of their forefathers. But he had the entire nation fast. That was a corporate fast. Now, that fast was a normal fast. Now, I didn't mention with no water, but it was probably a normal or a total fast. But a corporate group entered into that, and it had power to it. What happened when Jonah went to Nineveh? That was a corporate fast when he went in and told them, God is going to judge Nineveh. And so the king called, don't even give an ox, don't give an animal food or water for 3 days, and maybe God will spare us. And so not a living thing had food or water for 3 days. That was a corporate fast combined with a total fast. And so God repented then of his judgment upon Israel because of their repentance. So it is a place to where a pastor, what did the pastor do for September? He called a corporate partial fast. The partial fast was, let's just deny our flesh man. Was this a legalistic thing? No, it was the voice of the Lord speaking to the pastor to help the people hear more closely, because that TV voice is a whole lot louder than the Holy Spirit's voice. Is it saying, no, the church is getting legalistic and in bondage? Oh, a number of people said that, certainly. At least they did around our place. No, it was a pastor realizing the voice of God is speaking all over the world right now, fasting and prayer, separating ourselves. And so he wanted to bring the church through the easiest mode into moving in this. Start with a corporate fast. Hit one of those things. What is one of these things in your life that may be there? And in fact, the whole family can go into that. And our whole family at times will enter into a corporate partial fast. And so it's a fifth aspect of them that we didn't really mention. Fasting in a person's life, well, we already talked to that, is parallel to pruning a tree. But fasting is like a season of drought or death in our life. We need to realize it is a dead time. It is a drought time that will end up bringing forth great life. How to prepare for a fast, we'll start there in the morning. I think with 4 hours we'll be able to get through the other pages, but with a few minutes, do we have questions on all that we've gone through, the theology of fasting, and now we'll start and come back tomorrow and we'll go through all the practical helps of fasting. Any questions on the theology of fasting? Okay. A partial fast is a good starting place if you never have, and choosing usually what you do in a partial fast is you don't say, well, I'm gonna fast bean curd for the year. So what is that area that voice is very strong in you? And if it's fasting the TV, I did this way with the TV for an entire year. I was not popular around my house. But it was such a bondage in our family 7 years ago, we took it out of our house for an entire year to break the bondage. And when the bondage was broken, we came back with some very strict guidelines. You know, 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock in our house every day, the TV's just not on. Or any school night, 4 to 8, it's just not on. It's not open for discussion. There's a sign on the TV. Read it. You know? It's not open. But this is, it's not open for discussion. 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's a form of partial fast. TV doesn't have to be on. You know?
If you would like to order this tape set or any other material available at Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at 843-365-8990 or write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For our friends comfortable with a computer, log on to our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org. Or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.